Welcome to the Gut Church Podcast. My name is Kennedy Shear, and thank you so much for joining us. Today, we have a great word for you. If this ministry has changed your life, will you let us know? Send us an email to story@gutschurch.com.
Well, welcome to Guts Church. Hope you guys are doing good. Let's speak it. No, we are in for an absolute treat today. We have... Just to lay a bit of foundation, these are our three guys who have been around a very, very long time. They have been influential in my dad's life, which then has in turn been influential in our lives. And these guys are like spiritual fathers to me, and I am so excited for you guys to hear them. Like I said, the 9:30 was fantastic. Other than this first person trying to steal the show. So I just want to prepare you now for Pastor Buck Schaefer.
No. Hey, serious honor to the house and to the pastors of the house, Pastor Bill and Sandy, and all the great pastors here, Pastor Mike and Pastor Jeff. Wow, what a great place to be. You know, I just wanted to share one thing that, man, what a legacy at that wedding last night. Did you get it? Something beautiful happened there. And when Amy and I asked people to be on our board and asked people to do stuff, we really thought about this. And I thought, I want somebody that the next generation loves God and at least likes church. And so we think about that and seeing their kids be blessed in Brooklyn and Taylor, and it's something special. And I want you to know when Pastor Bill was walking through the middle of a situation, he was preaching at our church, and he wouldn't say anything to me, you know. And when you're covenant, when you're people of covenant, you have somebody that gets in the pit with you. That's who your pastor is. But he was in a fight, and Pastor Sandy was in a fight, and he was sitting across a table from us eating dinner. And all he was concerned about is, I'm here in Pittsburgh to do a job, to speak to your men, to speak to your church. And my daughter had just come in the middle, right before COVID, home from Liberty University. And Bill looks across the table and hones into her and says, what level leader are you? And she says some stupid answer, like a real high level. And he drops it about 6 points and said, no, you're this. Your mom might be that. But you know, my daughter's here at Guts Internship, and I can't say enough about it. Come on, give a shout for the house. I can't say enough about it, because something I just want to share that is you're doing this thing as a pastor. I traveled for a while, and I'd seen pastors' kids that want nothing to do with God or the house. And so when I look at his kids and I look at these interns, it pumps me up. And so I think about this blessing I've been talking about in our church. You know, I came out of Easter, and this scripture came to him in Galatians 3:13. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone that hangs on a tree, that the blessing promised to Abraham might come upon the Gentiles, us, through Christ Jesus. And I started thinking, this is what I told my people, and I just want to tell you it and get out of your way. But I said, there's something in you today, and there's something on you today. How many believe it? I want to say it again. Say it with me. There's something in me, and there's something on me. Jesus got up on the third day so that you could walk in this blessing, and most believers don't know what it is. I love Psalms 112 because it gives us an articulation of this, and it says it this way. It says, let me get this phone a little bit jacked up here. It says, shout in celebration, praise the Lord. Everyone who loves the Lord, Passion Translation, and delights in him, cherishes words, and beyond blessed and expectation. Their descendants will be prosperous and influential. Every generation of his godly lovers will experience his favor. Great blessing and wealth fills the house of the wise. The integrity endures forever. Even in darkness, when it overtakes them, sunrise brilliance will come bursting through. Because they are gracious to others, tender and true. Life is good for the one who is generous and charitable. Conducting affairs with honesty and truth, their circumstances will never shake them. Others will never forget their example. They will not live in fear nor dread of what may come, for their hearts are firm, ever secure in their faith. Steady and strong, they will not be afraid. They will calmly face every foe until the day they go down to their defeat. Never stingy, always generous to those in need. Their lives of influence and honor will never be forgotten. They are full of good deeds. Come on, someone say the blessing. This is the blessing that's on you. And the way it happened to me, I'll never forget another life-defining moment. I was in, I don't know where we were, Washington, D.C., in a high-rise, in a penthouse, like eating food. Pastor Bill said, come on up here and share something with us. And when he introduced me, he happened to know my father and my brother, Mark, who helped build this place at a certain time. And he said, this is Pastor Buck. And he introduced me this way. He said, his father was like a first-century Christian. And, you know, that went through my bones. It went through my being. I'm like, and you know, I might do what Pastor Bill did last night. I might start getting a tear when I think about that. Because my father got called out of Pittsburgh to come here to go to Bible school and raise us kids. And in 1973 in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, my father walked forward in a church at Oakmont Baptist Church. He gave his life to Jesus. And that day, the curse was broken over my life, over his life, over the seed's life of my children and my children's children. All your children will be taught of the Lord, and great will be their peace. And the Lord was telling me, man, the word is near you, even in your mouth. You have to stir it up. The way the Father works in Genesis was he hovered over the chaos. He didn't run from the chaos, the darkness in our world today. He hovered over it. The Holy Spirit brooded and hovered over the chaos. He didn't run from it. He spoke to it. And the Bible says this word is near us, even in our mouth. And I started thinking, I'm blessed. You're blessed. God's making you and me a symbol and a source of blessing. He says, let the redeemed of the Lord. You got to say something about it. You got to stir that thing up. So here's the way it rocked out. I was the other day asking God for this new building. And it was about $4 to $5 million building. And all these church pastors after COVID, it's like this cathedral cool place, and they're going after it for a million and a half, 2 million, 3 million. And the guy came to me, he said, for some reason, I watched you online, and we came to your church as a secret shopper, and for some reason, we need your church. Even though you offered 700,000, we pick you. Somebody say the blessing. There's something on you today, right? There's something in you. So you could articulate this to be a financial miracle or a breakthrough, which God's interested in you being blessed and wealth and riches being in your house. But something happened the other night. I looked at my son, Judah, strong little guy, 13-year-old, and I watched his coach hitting his golf swing. He said, this kid's anointed. And I thought, yes, the blessing. I called my daughter down here at Guts Church. She said, Dad, we got to do this, we got to do that. I said, keep a right heart, keep a good attitude, keep winning. I said, my daughter's blessed. She said, Dad, I think it's the will of God for me to stay here. I said, come on. But then my 16-year-old was coming home the other night. He got his license. He comes home at 11:02 and walks in my room and says to me and his mother, as I'm ready to pass out, he says, Dad, just as matter of fact, very nonchalant, I just won my friend to Jesus, Dad. I prayed salvation with him. Come on, come on. You know what that did to me? The blessing that was on his grandfather got on his son. This stuff will get in your genes. It'll get in your genes. And I'll tell you, when it gets in your genes, there's nothing more blessed than to be blessed, to be a blessing. I will bless you. I will make you a blessing. I will accelerate you. I will multiply you. Everything your hand touches is called to prosper. Your marriage, when you have a good marriage, come on, it's good. When you have a sucky marriage, it's really bad. That's part of the blessing. When your kids serve the Lord and do the will of God, it's good. Taylor, come on. I'll hijack this thing. Can I say to you, can I just say, speak something over you? The Lord told me, use the authority. And this thing that these guys are talking about, Pastor Jeff and Pastor Mike, there's an apostolic authority God's put in us to release the blessing, to release the blessing and speak it over people, because the blessing transfers in words. It just happened, it'll happen again with your, but it transfers in words. And when someone calls you blessed, and my father said when he got saved in 1973, I remember him standing up with a big, loud voice like Pastor Mike, "As for me and my house, we'll serve the Lord." And when my little boy walked in and told me he won his friend to Jesus, I said, "That soul-winning spirit that was on his grandpa, that got in me, it's on my son. This thing's working. Come on."
Well done. Pastor Buck. Well done.
I don't even know how to transition after that. But no, this next guy, there's no introduction needed, but he has been a staple in Dad's life, a calming voice, and I truly believe that he has a word that we can, again, grab onto and run with and make our lives better. Pastor Jeff Perry.
Good morning. Hey, I want you to turn to the person next to you and say, "I'm glad you're sitting by me." Did you feel like they meant it when they said it? I want you to turn around with enthusiasm and say, "I am glad you're here and not somewhere else." It's really apparent the Lord Jesus is doing something pretty significant here right now. You're in day 89 of a 60-day revival. Do the math. And, you know, the Lord is setting something up in this crazy world we're in. And he said, "I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it." How about that? In 2 Corinthians chapter 4, God said light would shine out of darkness. In Isaiah 60, it says that your light, arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. That was written to Zion. Well, the church is Zion as well. So hundreds of years ago in Isaiah's time, that was the case. And then it said kings would come to your brightness and to your arising. I've known Pastor Bill since the day my first child was born. He was a new Christian. We were young men getting ready to prepare for the ministry. And we have been friends for all these decades, which is a rare thing in today's transient society. And then back in the early 90s, when he and Pastor Sandy planted this church in this great city of Tulsa with such heritage, God wanted to bring a specific culture, and even local churches and local pastors esteem and value the uniqueness with which your pastors conduct themselves and provide leadership. They're not copiers, and they're also not novel and just faddish. They're not traditionalists either. They're striving to stay current and be facilitators of the substance of the gospel. And that's what's happening here. There's so much anointing, so much power and empowerment here, that like when Pastor Bill had us reach up our hands, you know, the international sign is surrender. Let's just do that. We lift up holy hands without wrath or doubting. We reach out and we believe we receive. And so just reach your hands open, spread your fingers, and pull your palms back just a little bit. And just open up to the Lord. Whatever you put your hand to will prosper. Do what I remember Jack Hayford did out in California. Turn your hands like this and receive. They led us in song about how God's our provider. And we believe we receive when we pray. Each one of us, those of us with low self-esteem, those of us who've had terrible things spoken over us, well, we now have been esteemed and valued by Jesus, and his great equalizer has brought us out of the pit, redeemed us to a purpose, and we don't have to copy each other. We don't have to compare with each other. It's not wise to do that. We're unique. You can put your hands down, and the anointing is on you, and that means that's a church term for God's presence and God's power, and Pastor Buck really brought that home. It really stood out to me that what and I heard T.L. Osborne say this, what God does to you, he wants to do through you. So Proverbs 4:23 instructs us to guard or keep our hearts with all diligence, because that's where the springs of life come from. And, you know, you could get bitterness in there. A root of bitterness can spring up and cause trouble. Jesus said there, you know, that offenses are inevitable. It's inevitable that offenses will come. I love the reality check of the Bible. Because Jesus said, hey, look, I spoke these things to you so that in me you will have peace. He said, in the world, you will certifiably have a difficulty, tribulation. You know, Psalm says, many are the afflictions of the righteous, but, there's a caveat, but the Lord will deliver them out of them all. So we're not escapists, so we're not deniers. In fact, we are required to face reality with even a greater clarity. We are realistic, but we're optimistic realists because we know the inside information is that greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. And you have had some amazing things happening these last few months. And I'll just close with this, a little analogy. Pastor Bill is a real gift giver, and he has been just kind of crassly intervening to out-grandpa me with my own grandchildren. He sends stuff. I guess he's got that Amazon Prime or whatever. He just keeps pumping stuff at my grandkids and so that he would be the favorite. And it's really disgusting because it's working. I got a picture on my phone when I was out of town and he was speaking for me. He bought a princess dress for my granddaughter. That's just... She loves it, and she's hugging him, and she's all touchy-feely. He gave my grandson his first sip of coffee and a first full mouth kiss before I did. That's your pastor. That's a test to my relationship, actually. But I was a recipient of one of his gifts, so it kind of made it better. And I got a box that had a Solo stainless steel fire pit that some, you know, really sophisticated mountain climbers created. They got the idea to create these little cylindrical, like a cylinder within a cylinder with holes drilled, with this idea that you can make the fire burn hotter and that the air will pull in such a way where it actually burns the smoke so that when you sit around the fire, you don't have all the smoke burn in your eyes. Have you ever sat, who is the person who sat by the fire and the smoke followed you? And you'd get up and move and it would get up in your face, right? Well, we live out in the woods, so we've had fire right on the grass, and then we built one out of brick, and then we bought one at the store. It was like a bowl with a little screen on it. And they're okay, but this thing is superior. It's improved. Not new and improved in some sort of novel way, like a gimmick. It's really actually amazing. And we send pictures back and forth to each other of us sitting by fires. That's very bromantic, isn't it? I don't want you to say anything bad about this when I give you this microphone. Don't treat me like you did Buck. But I feel like, as a leader, this is what your pastor has been laboring toward. The new wine, the fire of the Holy Spirit, whatever we want to use as an example, but you're being retrofitted and being renewed in your capacity for the next steps of your obedience as individuals, because that's, after all, what we all are. We're all rugged individuals. There are no two of us alike. Cults get in uniformity. Cults insist upon diminishment of our individuality. Not so with the body of Christ. The denominational flavors, it's beautiful, really. And in the body of Christ, we identify with our origin, our image and identity, our purpose, and our destiny. It's all answered there. The world's gone crazy with it and is confused about it, but God's actually assigned you and me to be carriers of the fire. In the old days, somebody was responsible to carry the fire. Well, guess what? In the new days, we're all called and responsible to carry the fire. And so, when I think about with Guts right now, is something Pastor Bill said, and I'll close with this. He said, we're going to do this revival just so that we get the conditions right for when God wants to flick a match on us. Boy, when he said that, I first of all stole it and didn't give him an attribution. I immediately preached it before he could get out online. But I thought, that is so good, because our God is a consuming fire. And his eyes run to and fro throughout the earth looking for people whose hearts are yielded to him that he may strongly support. And this is where you got to really fight the good fight of faith, because the accuser of the brethren, the Greek word is kategoreo, and it means to categorize. He wants to pigeonhole you. He wants to minimize you. He wants to trivialize you or make you puffed up and get you arrogant. One extreme or the other, just so long as he gets you. But God has actually a plan to download key understanding, and that's what's happening here. That's what's been happening here for the last several months. That's what's happened here in this transitional weekend with the marriage, which represents Christ in the church. Man, there is something wonderful happening right now. It is so good. Aren't you glad you came to church? So just in case God wants to flick a match on you, let's just keep the kindling dry. Let's just arrange things and get available, which is just trust, just in case God might want to do something great in your life. I'll close with this, because I already said that three times. That means nothing, apparently. But before the pandemic, my wife and I had the privilege of going again to Israel, and I was on Hebron, where Caleb, on his 85th birthday, stood at the base of the mountain with his friend Joshua after all the battles, after Moses had died and they crossed the Jordan in a transitional moment, which we're in a transitional moment. And he looked up at the mountain and he said, as my strength was then, so my strength is now. There's some of you that have been here for your season. You've been here a long time. You bring something to the table of maturity, and there will be an influx of people who are broken and brand new and need what you have. So keep the switch of faith on, keep the attitude up, and be ready, because God's about to flick a match on you. It happened with Caleb. He said, give me this mountain. He said, maybe God might anoint me to put a whooping on some of these giants. Right? Everybody say, give me this mountain. Hallelujah. Well, I'm happy to be here. I speak blessing over your life. Put your hand on your heart, one hand up toward heaven. Say, I am what I am. By the grace of God, I'm here under a divine directive. It's not a coincidence that I'm hearing what I'm hearing. I'm being prepared and trained for something that eye has not seen, ear has not heard, nor has it entered the heart of man, the things God has prepared for me. I'm available. I'm obedient. I'm sensitive. I'm spirit-led. I forgive everybody, including myself, and I receive a fresh word today. This is my day. Get on fire. Get serious for God, to be obedient and fruitful. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you.
Man, it's teed up to make a comment about those pictures. But I'm not going to do it, sir. Out of honor. Out of honor. I'm not going to talk about how that makes you guys old or anything. You're sending pictures of fires from what is essentially a homeless person's fire pit. Dad takes real offense to it because he's so proud of it. The smoke-filled, smokeless fire pit. Please join me in welcoming Pastor Mike Hayes.
Thank you, guys. Church, we love the ministry friends that we're here with. Great to see the Perrys and the Schaefers. And this is a transitional moment, as Pastor Perry just said, it's a transitional moment. The wedding last night even is kind of a prophetic thing. That's the That's the last I told Bill last night. When you looked at a dinner with all of these people here, I was looking at the bill in my mind. And I said I was going to give an offering to the bride and groom. I think I'll give it to you. Aren't you glad you don't have three more daughters that you have to get married? But that's the last. It is a transitional time. I want to share just a word briefly to you and with you and to your pastor, Pastor Bill, and this great team. You know, the apostolic era that is upon us and blossoming is because it was prophesied that in the last day God would turn the hearts of fathers to their children and the hearts of children to the fathers. It's not lost on me that many of these anarchical organizations that have taken to the streets to burn cities are opposed to fathers, and fathers are mostly absentee. And even some of the new organizations that have begun to cause anarchy in America have stated in their manifesto, we are opposed to the patriarchal family image. You don't need fathers, you don't need husbands. And that's absolutely opposed to God's plan. So in the kingdom of God, the Bible says that he gives us evangelists, pastors, teachers, apostles, prophets. So there is what we call the fivefold ministry. My contention is that we've missed something in that I believe most pastors, pastoring is a young man's job, most pastors are called to mature into an apostle's calling. Because an apostle is a father. So there's really no such thing as a 20-year-old apostle. Apostles are seasoned men that have been on the battlefield a while and seen some things and experienced some things. I want to add a brief word that I didn't mention in the first service that I believe God has spoken to me in the last few moments. There is a picture in my mind of Moses, who was the great leader of Israel, probably more delegated authority in him as one man than any man God has ever called. This is a man who could stretch out his walking stick and an ocean would divide in the middle. That's a lot of delegated authority. So the children of Israel were in a battle once, and God set the terms and said, Moses, as the leader of this army, sit on a high place apart and hold up your arms. And as long as you hold your arms up over the battlefield, your army will be victorious. So Moses went to the high mountain and he held up his arms. And the children of Israel were defeating the enemy and they were winning the battle. And after a few hours, Moses as a man was wearied and his arms started to slip. And as his arms would lower, the tide of the battle would turn against his own army, and he would try with all of his strength to raise his hands. Thank God for Aaron and a man named Hur that saw what was going on, and they knew God's word. And the Bible says that Aaron and Hur came and stood, one on the left and one on the right, and said, we're going to make this easy. We're going to hold your arms up, so that you don't have to hold them anymore in your own strength, but we're going to hold your arms up and we're going to win this battle. Something dawned on me a few moments ago sitting here during the worship service, and that is this, that apparently as mere humans, our assignment in ministry can outlast our physical strength. So we're getting weary, but the assignment isn't finished. That's why God has called us to stand with one another. So for Pastor Bill, in this instance, the pastor of this great house, he's built such a team, but the assignment is not finished on his life. So we're not going to let Pastor Bill get to a place in his life where the assignment isn't done, but the physical demands are causing arms to be lowered just a little bit. And so we come in alongside and we hold up his arms until the assignment is finished. Then here's what happens. As his assignment is finished and his victories are won, the Aarons and the Hurs of the ministry are the ones who then step in, and God says, now, you know what it means to hold up arms. Now you hold up your arms, and I'm going to send a whole new generation to help you as your strength wanes. Listen, we're supposed to finish strong, but we finish strong by finishing together, and we help one another, and we serve one another, and we pray for one another, and we love one another, and we're covenant people because he's a covenant God. And you know what? Covenant was made here last night, and covenant is really simple. It's promises made to each other. And these beautiful lights and this beautiful seating last night and the beautiful grass runway and the beautiful 13 ladies and then 13 gentlemen, all of that was awe-inspiring. But with due respect, God enjoyed the beauty, but the only thing he listened to were the vows. I promise to love you and care for you and stand with you and be yours forever. That's what God notes. God notes a vow, and then he strengthens the vow. And you know what, church? It's really easy to be a covenant church. All you got to do is say, you know what? I'm going to promise, Pastor, to never speak against you, to always pray for you, to love you and hold your arms up. And then you live by that vow. And then the pastor makes a vow and say, I'm always going to give you my best. I'm always going to hear God on your behalf. I'm never going to speak against you. I'm always going to be for you. Covenant made. Cut it in the blood of Jesus and live that thing out, and God will strengthen it. So I want to ask Pastor Bill to come up here a minute. And I want to bless him with something because I love this guy. And he's been a faithful friend in my life for many years. And he and Sandy are so special to Kathy and I. And he is an emerging apostle. He has pastored faithfully in this house for decades, and he is an emerging apostle in an apostolic era. You know, apostle is not actually in its origin a biblical word. Apostle was in the Greek and then Roman Empire. The apostle, in fact, the apostle in some instances was the name of the lead ship in a formation of ships that would go out from a nation when new territory had been taken by an army. They would send a delegation with an apostle who would land on the shores of the new territory, and his job was to introduce their new language, their new culture, their new money system, and their new government because they had been taken over. As we move forward against darkness, Bill Scheer has been sent to Tulsa to hold back darkness. And as he goes and takes territory by the words of his mouth, then God sends us in to bring a new language, a new culture, a new economic system of putting God first. The whole thing is introduced from this house. So I wrote this in the wee hours of the morning a few weeks ago. I was actually in Pittsburgh. I didn't know who, and I didn't assign who that was for. I read it today because it's for your pastor as an emerging apostle, and we're going to commit to hold up his arms because his assignment isn't nearly finished, but he needs the strengthening of you all standing with him. This is important. An apostle is one who is sent. He goes forth as a kingdom culture ambassador. He is wise. He has much experience. His life is in order. He prays. He understands world systems and speaks to the highest levels of power. He is understanding. He is powerful in authority. He is humble and easy to approach if your spirit is right. He brings order where there is disarray. He tends well to the responsibility of sons and daughters. His vision is broad enough to see the whole landscape, but it's focused enough to catch one who is falling. He is needed, but not always wanted. He's always uncomfortable in Saul's armor. He is comfortable in silence with God. He burns with revelation when he speaks. The church world has mostly suppressed and ignored him, not finding a way for him to fit into political hierarchy. But he will arise. He's been tried. He will take his proper place. He will find honor among many worthy sons. He will finish the end of this age strong, and he will join the triumphal company in the New Jerusalem. I believe God is ushering this house into a transitional place with your leader as an emerging apostle, because as he steps up into what God has called him to, it creates an emptiness and a vacuum for a whole generation to step in where he has stood. That doesn't mean he's finished. That doesn't mean he's leaving. That doesn't mean he's hanging up his spurs. That means he's moving into a new place of authority in the kingdom of God. And then all of you move into your new place. And this house will be spoken of across the nation and studied as a model for the apostolic era that opens the heavens over cities and changes lives by the millions. In Jesus.
You know, Taylor, I think, hit the nail on the head when he just used the term benchmark. I think in the first service he said, this isn't just a throwaway Sunday for us. I'll tell you, what God's done in and through this revival is made every time we come together poignant and important, and not to try to overdramatize it, vital in our lives. It's been a vital time for me and Sandy. I'll tell you, when you think about revival, I met a guy earlier between services that said, "Can you explain revival to me?" And it's interesting because I was flooded with what God's doing right now. And it, what God's done here is he's taken, and when I think of the church, I think of concentric circles. And he's taken that inner circle, that core part of the church, and this is going to dovetail off of what Pastor Mike said, is that he's taken that core group of the church and they've elevated spiritually, and that elevation spiritually causes everything in their lives to elevate. And I see so many people that their home life, their business, their vocation, their livelihood, their wealth has elevated to, I mean, amazing places. And simple words like, man, your livelihood's going to triple. And I'm pointing this direction, talking to somebody, and all throughout the room, that expectation hit so many people, and the same thing happened all over the room. But that elevation also brings a pull for each outer concentric circle to lift. And I believe the tide of this church is lifted. And understand, like God's blessing, the Bible says, comes upon us and then overtakes us. So you might be here today believing God for a financial blessing or a blessing in your health. Well, listen, God doesn't compartmentalize this and say, okay, I'm going to, kind of religion said, people have said, man, I've got faith for finances. I just don't have faith for health. Listen, it's all the same faith. And God doesn't compartmentalize our lives and just say, I'm just going to bless you here. He pours out a blessing. And the way he does anything is the way he does everything. And we allowed the pruning in our life. That's what God's done through this revival, is he's pruned us. And that pruning has just given us an opportunity just to grow bigger and stronger and better than we ever dreamt about being. But listen, the tides elevated all of our lives, not just the specific need that we require of God. And the other thing, and I, these three men that have gotten up here and spoken, even four with Taylor, that God's enriched our lives so much in my life with these guys in my life for years. and just examples of the faith and examples in marriage and examples of the fight. I love the whole idea of Caleb, where he's like, I want that mountain. It's full of giants. No one else wanted it. I'm so grateful to these men that have spoken today, and I'm grateful to y'all. My heart overflows with a good theme. I write my composition before the king. My tongue is as a pen of a ready writer. You know, it's one of these times now where this has been a doozy weekend for me and Pastor Sandy. You know, it's interesting how it hit me yesterday turning Kennedy over to another man. Because the last few months, Sandy's made it a practice every day when somebody will say, hey, how are the plans of the wedding going? And she'd say, oh, they're great, but Bill really hadn't done anything. Every day, she said it. As she blew by whatever budget we agreed on. But it was just interesting, and I want you guys to know the covenant rich environment here. And I'm going to ask you to go back and re-listen to what these men said. I mean, just the simple explanation of covenant that Pastor Mike gave. You know, when Pastor Jeff was up here speaking, I remember the teaching he had on parasitical drag that affects our lives and limits us from places God's called us to go. But I'm just telling you, this is a new time in our church, a new time in our lives. Man, no more limits. Let's not hold God back. Because the world is so full of itself. But the Bible says where sin abounds, His grace so much more abounds. And I live for that grace. I jones for God's grace. His power, His supernatural ability, favor. And I proclaim a supernatural favor upon your life today in the name of Jesus. Supernatural favor in the name of Jesus. You watch what God's going to do.
Thank you so much for listening to this podcast. If you'd like more information about the ministries of Guts Church, visit our website at gutschurch.com.